site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Ideas abound as Back Time takes a look at those thought-provoking events that all happened on October 14th. Because they knew one day all your rowdy friends would be ready for some football. On this date in 1943, the American Broadcasting Company was founded. Butter, not guns. Today in 1960, Democratic presidential candidate John F. Kennedy first suggested the idea of a Peace Corps. And live from 200 miles straight up, the first live telecast from a manned U.S. spacecraft was broadcast from Apollo 7, this date in 1968. It's Back Time for October 14th. This is your announcer speaking.
Michelle Obama is all that stands between the love-struck media and Barack Obama. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. An insanely jealous national media identified Michelle Obama today as the only barrier remaining between them and dreamboat presidential hopeful Barack Obama. Now, after cutting off a brief affair with GOP vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, the media say all that remains is for Mrs. Obama to, quote, fall off a boat or something. Columnist Mark Werther.
Barack will turn to us for support, and then he'll be ours.
The media, who have admittedly loved too much in the past, have promised never again to repeat the mistake they made when they gave First Lady Laura Bush a fighting chance and were hurt badly. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Mardi Gras Necklace Chucker.
Mr. Mardi Gras Necklace Chucker.
You trek to the Big Easy with thousands of dirt cheap beaded necklaces in the steadfast hope of cashing each one in for two special things.
Lift up your blouse.
Yes, Mr. Mardi Gras Necklace Chucker, even after imbibing 14 hurricanes, you have the motor skills to hurl a handful of costume jewelry and hit your target every time.
Drunken blonde at 12 o'clock.
Do you do it for the glory, for the passion, or because it's the only way you'll ever see a woman's breasts?
Don't forget your video camera.
So the next time you feel like degrading yourself on Bourbon Street for 8 cents worth of plastic and string, raise your halter top in salute to Mr. Mardi Gras Necklace Chucker, a real American hero.
Mr. Mardi Gras Necklace Chucker.
Come on, sweetheart, show us the goods.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday, October 14th.
Hi, Sam.
Hello, Susie. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm good. Getting settled. Yeah. As I scramble to get ready.
Yes. Yeah, I know the listeners can prepare for a lot of noise as you get settled in the morning.
No, I'm fine. I'm ready now.
Yeah. A scarf today and everything, huh?
I've worn a scarf, the same scarf 3 days in a row.
No, you didn't wear it yesterday.
I did, too.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I would have noticed it, Susie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Let me see. What did you... No, you had a T-shirt yesterday with that Massachusetts...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You see? Okay, good for you. Your memory's not so fucked up.
No, you see? Just almost.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Incidentally, we're going to be talking to an author from Massachusetts.
Adam Shepard?
Yes. He just wrote a book. He's, I guess, releasing it today or yesterday, called Scratch Beginnings. And me, $25, and the search for the American dream.
Sounds like Franz's life.
Yeah, pretty much. Except this guy looks pretty handsome and...
Yeah. No, Franzi's handsome.
I didn't mean it like to compare. I'm sorry. No, what I meant is this is someone who's going for the American dream who actually doesn't have to. So he did it for the book. You know, he's actually a college graduate. So it would be interesting to know. I guess he started with like $25 and he had a certain goal. So we'll talk to him about it and see what happened.
You know. So this is something he actually did. It's kind of like a little social experiment.
Yes, exactly. Oh. That's exactly what he did.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting, you know. So we'll talk to him in a few minutes.
We used to do that. I think I don't know if I told you this or not, but back in college at Colorado, you know, really wealthy students would kind of you know, get dressed up in like various levels, you know, of like poverty all the way up to like looking pretty wealthy, mm-hmm. And just wait on the side of the street at a really busy intersection and try and collect money with like varying levels of signs, like being like, my boyfriend just left me, like we were driving cross country, he's a fucking jerk, and oh my god, I've got no money, like please help me get back to New York. Yeah. You know, so people would like, you know, they would make like up to $500 a day.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was pretty obscene.
I know, those people standing at the side of the freeways there, supposedly yep. they make a lot of money. I know that some kind of a TV reporter tried this for a day and made quite a bit of money.
Yep.
It's
yep.
interesting, huh?
It is pretty crazy.
Wow. Maybe that's what we should do, you know? When all when all else fails, you know?
I've thought about it before, seriously.
Really? Well, you wouldn't sell your body before you did that?
Hell no. My body's my... I don't know. I feel like I can make money off my body without selling it, so to speak.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, I'd get by...
In a direct way.
I'd get by in the kindness of strangers.
Yeah, exactly. You get sugar daddies and stuff.
Hey. What can you say?
Yeah, what can you say? You've got it all figured out.
So I have to tell you something really quickly. Mm-hmm. So I was about to hop in the shower this morning, and my phone buzzed. Yeah. And I was like, oh. Like,
now, why are you hopping in the shower? Can't you just take a normal shower?
No. Okay. No. I have to do everything with a hop in my step.
Go ahead.
Such a jerk.
You
smart
just
ass.
Set yourself up for that. Go ahead.
No, I literally do hop into the shower. Okay. I hop everywhere I go. and my phone buzzed, and I go to look at it, and it was an email from Franz being like, hi, honey bunny, I was just thinking of you. And he sent me like a rather suggestive picture of the two of us.
Oh, wow.
Taken from a while ago. And so.
Who took the picture?
He did.
With both of you?
He has a timer and everything set on the camera.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I hop in the shower, like literally after getting this email from him, being like, hi, honey bunny, I'm thinking of you, and that I miss you. And so while I'm in the shower, I just had this weird feeling. I was like, something is amiss. Something is not quite right. Mm-hmm. And then I all of a sudden was thinking, I was like, you know what? I think he had his ex-girlfriend come and visit him. And that's why I didn't hear from him for a couple of days. And that's why all of a sudden he's thinking of me, quote unquote. Because now his bed is cold again. And I was like, wait a minute. So all these wheels start turning in my head. And meanwhile, I have no idea what's been going on since he's been in New York because I don't talk to him every day.
Yeah.
But so all of a sudden, as soon as I get in the, as soon as I hop in the car.
Yeah.
Literally, I have to hop in the car from the street where I am, or else I'm going to get hit by a car.
Okay.
I decided to call him, and I was like, hi, hun, what's up? And he's like, oh, nothing. I'm like, why are you awake? He's like, I don't know. And then I was like, I just had a question for you. I was like, did so-and-so come and visit you yet? And all of a sudden, there was like silence on the phone.
Okay.
I was like, you've got
to
be kidding
me. So
you
were on to
You
him,
have
yeah.
got to be fucking kidding me. So I've decided that living with a psychic has now made me some quasi-psychic.
Yeah.
Because I had a premonition this morning. I like literally had a visual of this girl in New York visiting him and like hanging out with his parents. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I call him and it was dead on.
Yeah.
So now you are working with a psychic, Sam.
I suppose.
Yes.
Wow. Or maybe it was just because it was logical to think that. Or pretty normal, I guess, for a scorned lover or something, you know, to think. But no, I mean, I'm not going to take it away from you. You're a psychic, okay?
Thank you. Thank yeah. you. Okay. No, but like seriously, I told him as soon as I had the threesome, like as soon as I'd put it out in the air.
Yeah.
And his mother had listened to that show, which she did, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But yeah, so wouldn't you think that he would know that I would somehow know? And that he would just tell me, because if I found out, then I would think that something had happened anyway.
No, because it's about denial, you know, deny, you know, why
But he
admit,
didn't deny, you know? He just didn't tell me.
Right, same thing. That's lying, right?
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hmm. And he's like, at least I wasn't having a threesome. And I was like, well, at least I told you about the threesome. And he's like, well, at least I didn't have a threesome.
Yeah.
And I was like, but you actually like the girl that came to visit you.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't really have, like, intimate feelings for the people that I hooked up with.
Yeah.
You know, they're just friends.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you expected, you know, but I don't know. We've got a phone call already. Okay. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie. Who's on the line?
Hey, Sam and Susie. This is Adam Shepherd. I'm calling for a quick interview here.
Yes,
Hi, Adam.
How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Good. We weren't sure if we have to call you or you call in because there's been some confusion with a PR firm. But yeah, I suppose you were supposed to call in, so that is a good thing. And so where are you calling from, Adam?
Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm over here on the right coast.
That's my last name, Raleigh.
Yeah. I figured you'd have something to say about that.
Yes, thank you.
So you just wrote a new book, and I know you don't have much time, so we'll sort of get into that. Just give us a little bit of background. How old are you?
I am 26 now, and I was 23 when I wrote this book.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he's my age.
So, is this just coming out, this book?
Yep. It just I self-published the first version, and that came out last year in the fall, and then it sold to HarperCollins, and they just released it this week.
Wow. What was going through your mind when they told you, okay, we're taking this manuscript?
Well, you know, it's crazy because the book had kind of already been out there, and I was doing a little publicity and whatnot on my own, mm-hmm. and then they came in and they said, hey, we love this story, we would love to promote Scratch Beginnings and get, you know, more widespread distribution, and so I was obviously more than happy to make that happen.
Wonderful. I mean, that's pretty pretty difficult with all the competition out there, I would imagine.
Oh my goodness! 197,000 books published each year, you know, published or self-published.
Jeez!
So to be published by a major firm, of course, it's a very humbling experience for me. Of course.
Yeah, yeah, and then to really be featured everywhere and stuff, and it's a good thing you're doing your book tour and stuff. So,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let me just repeat the title. It's Scratch Beginnings, Me, $25, and the Search for the American Dream. Now, tell us a little bit about, about the book, what it's about, and how it came about for you to go with this experiment.
Well, basically, I had read a book called Nickel and Dimed when I was in college. It was a wild bestseller.
Oh, that was your book?
No.
Oh, you read it. I'm sorry.
That's the book that I read. Yeah, yeah. I read that book in college, and you know, Barbara Ehrenreich wrote on the death of the American dream, and so I wanted to go out and make a discovery for myself. And so the idea was that I would start in a random city with $25 and the clothes on my back, and to see if in 1 year my goal was to have $2,500, a car, and a furnished apartment. And so that was how this all came about. The idea came about. I wanted to see what kind of opportunity there would be out there for me.
Mm. Wow.
So how do you survive? I mean, you start with $25. What random city did you pick?
I picked out Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh.
And you
that's
know,
a
and
great
I picked
city.
Out on a Monday and went on a Tuesday. And I had all the cities that I had were in the southeast, over here in the southeastern United States, and in Florida and Alabama and Georgia and Virginia, Tennessee. And so I picked out Charleston, South Carolina, and that's where I went.
And how did you start? I mean, you literally had $25 in your pocket and the clothes on your body. And where did you go first? What was the first thing you did?
I got off the train in Charleston, and I had this perception that I would, you know, be surrounded by beautiful houses and the waterfront and Southern Belles and horse-drawn buggies, and it would just be lovely. And so, and for me to arrive in North Charleston, which was the other side of the track, It was culture shock from the beginning. But I worked my way down to the homeless shelter right there in downtown Charleston, and that's where I stayed for 70 days. So that was my first stop, was the homeless shelter.
Oh.
Now, obviously, did you tell people that you were a college-educated person while you were doing this?
No, that's a good question. I had my kind of fabricated story on my, you know, druggy mom and my alcoholic father and how I was escaping this crazy life, and I was just all mixed up. And so I never told anybody who I really was. But to be honest with you, Susie, nobody really cared. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, whatever. You know, you've got your little story. Well, I got stabbed last Tuesday, so let me tell you a story.
Wow.
So, and I think that's what's so great about this, is that the people that I met, they really overshadow my story. And so for me to be able to tell the story of Derek and Omar and BG and these really cool guys that I met is what this is all about.
Wow, that's great. And one other question. Did you ever slip and, you know, just end up being like, oh, I'm in a town where my cousin lives or where a friend from college lives. I just really want to go and, like, get a shower and a nice home-cooked meal.
No, I would have loved to have done that, but
I would have cheated.
Yeah. No, a lot of people say they would have just gone down in one night in a hotel, but no, I think that's that would have defeated the whole purpose. Charleston. I didn't know anybody in Charleston, and that's the thing, is that it had to be a city where I didn't know anybody, and if I did come home, then the project is over. So
yeah.
Wow.
And plus, I would imagine this is more like a state of mind, you know? I mean, if you decide to live like that, then hotels are not an option.
Exactly. No, and that's the whole thing, is this is a state of mind, and we can argue the economics on both sides of the spectrum, and it would be a good discussion. But the bottom line is the attitude and the state of mind that I took into this. And there were a lot of guys that I met that were really making things happen in their lives, and there were guys that weren't. And that's the difference here. That's the story that I'm telling.
So your family just completely let you go for the year?
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, did you have any contact with your family or friends?
Yeah, I called them. Usually I called them on Sundays from the payphone. And, you know, once I
they
got
still
working
have
a little
those?
Bit, I had a little... What's that?
They still have payphones?
I guess
yeah,
down south.
Down to the corner.
Yeah, wow. Down south, maybe they're a little behind. Who knows?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that there was one payphone on the corner, and you know, that's the... I called every Sunday just to keep in touch. And, you know, and I would go down to the library and email. And so it wasn't like I was completely out of touch, but it certainly was... you know, difficult being away from home. And, you know, my parents were nervous, but at the same time, they were excited about this opportunity for me to kind of discover a brand new world. And that's what this was all about, was a brand new discovery for me.
That's amazing. Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah. Now, I'm thinking that one thing that that probably kept you from totally living that life is knowing that one day it's going to end, and this
right.
experiment is going to end and stuff. So, but nevertheless, I mean, I guess when you start on day one and you have a year ahead of you where you're not giving yourself the choice to opt out, that's pretty challenging.
Oh, it was certainly challenging. And there on the other end, of course, just like you say, there's plenty of worthy criticism here to be had for the story about, you know, my safety net. I could have gone home at any time, and I'm young, and I'm healthy. And so there are a lot of things that I had working for me here. But I think what's interesting is, first of all, of course, I didn't quit, and I didn't go home. But also, I don't know that I really took this as serious as I could, you know.
Right.
And the guys I'm writing about in this book are guys that took this seriously, and they had to work. Me, it was kind of, it wasn't so much the need, so maybe, you know, maybe I didn't work as hard as I could have, or I didn't save as hard as I could have. So, you know, there are all kinds of different arguments here, but the bottom line is that I did it, and the guys that I wrote about, they did it, and some people are doing it, and some people aren't.
I have one other question for you. Did you ever, like when you finished writing the book, did you ever go back and try and find any of the people that you wrote about and give them a copy of it?
Yeah, no, well, interesting. There are two guys, Eric and Omar, that I write about in the book that I'm still really close friends with, and I think that's pretty special to me, that this is so much more than just a book. And
they don't feel
now,
you betrayed their trust by not telling them?
Oh, for sure I did. For sure I did. And but really, in the end, when I told them who I quote-unquote really was, they didn't care. They're like, dude, we are living this life for real. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so they weren't impressed, and they certainly didn't feel betrayed when I did tell them who I was. And actually, Derek bought about 10 copies of the book because he's the hero in the book, and he gave it to all of his friends and family and said, look at me, I'm in this book, it's great.
You made him buy the book?
He didn't make him, I'm sure.
I'm just kidding,
yeah.
Adam.
Jeez. So, so what happened? I mean, were you able to find a decent job, and how long did it take?
Yeah, it's interesting. It took me the first couple weeks I was doing just little day labor jobs and work today, pay today. But after a little while, I saw that I needed to get a permanent job, and that job I finally got was as a mover. And that's the job that I kept for the duration of my stay while I was in Charleston. But what's interesting about that, guys, is that after 2 weeks, I was really frustrated, and I was down, and I was complaining that nobody was responding to my applications and the economy and what's going on. And there was a guy in the shelter that gave me kind of this stern pep talk. And it's almost the whole chapter in the book, how he gives me this pep talk, and he tells me, you need to go out, and you need to get a job. And you know, the next day I had a job as a mover. But it was fascinating how here's Adam Shepard, the king of the American dream, and you can do it with $25. And I was taking advice from a guy in the homeless shelter. So this entire experience was extremely humbling for me and gave me the opportunity to really see how much I had taken for granted in my life. And that was just one example.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, one thing I'm wondering about is, were you seeking sex while you were there, and did you get any? I mean, what's the situation?
No, that's the
there?
First thing when I go to speak to high schools now. That's the first thing that they wonder about is my social life. And no, I think that is something that I had to put on the burner, and for a year, you know, my social life was sacrificed, but I think I knew that going in. I was in the right state of mind going in, but at the same time, that didn't make it any easier, because, you know, I'm a young guy, and I, you know, you want to go
a young,
down,
good looking guy,
and you want to dance and you want to do these things, but, you know, I had to make that sacrifice just for this year.
Wow.
So you want to tell me that you never ran into an opportunity to hook up with a girl or something? Maybe homeless?
I did, but I mean, you can't take a girl back to the shelter and say, "Hey, fellas."
Well, you try, or go to her place, you know, or something. But,
no, so. I think I certainly could have, but it just never really transpired like that. And of course, I would have loved to, but actually, the one date that I did go on while I was there, she didn't return any of my phone calls after I'd already been there for a while. She didn't return my phone calls, so you know, I think that luck was not in my favor down in Charleston.
So you stayed in Charleston for the whole year?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I was in Charleston the whole time.
Cool.
And were you able to buy a car and find a furnished apartment eventually?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I reached my goals, and I got my truck and my apartment and the $2,500, but I think in the end, it was really about the journey, and that's what, you know, people say, oh, well, did you make it? And of course I made it, but it's about why I made it, and it's about the guys that are making it and the guys that aren't making it, and so I think that for me to wake up every day and make decisions and to get hurt and get sick and then get into a fight later in the book, that, you know, that's what makes this story so fascinating.
Wow, I can't wait to read it. I'm really excited.
Yeah, this is really awesome. So now let me ask, how long did it take you before you reached your goal?
Just shy of 6 months, I had reached my goals, and, you know, I thought it was going to take me the whole year, you know, but just shy of 6 months, I had reached my goals, but it wasn't like I just thought, oh, well, now I can go home. You know, I wanted to stay and complete the project, and mostly because the guys I had met, I had really fostered some friendships with these guys, and that I, obviously that I continue today.
Wow.
That's what was so important to me.
So as tempting as it was to actually end this experiment after 6 months, since you already reached your goal, you decided to go the whole year anyway.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Well, I mean,
this is
cool. This became much more of my life than I had anticipated. You know, I thought I would just go in and hang out for a year and then write a book about it. But no, I mean, I really became a mover. You know, I became a part of this lifestyle, and it was fun. It really was who I was, and so that's why I decided to finish it.
Jeez, very nice, very nice. I mean, that's a lot of, I think, dedication and persistence, you know, and that. So that's amazing. Well, so tell people where they can get your book. Do you have a website that people can check it out?
Absolutely. Well, it's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the, you know, wherever books are sold, and my website is scratchbeginnings.com. You can read the introduction, and I'm coming on, I'll be out all over the country. I'm going on book tour, so you guys can come check me out.
Wow. You're going to be in L.A. too sometime soon?
I'm not going to be in L.A. I'll be in Northern California. I'm in Sacramento, Oakland, and San Francisco, but I won't be in L.A.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay. We'd love to have you in the studio.
Yes, absolutely. Susie would. Absolutely. She loves the picture on the front, and I'm sure, and I knew she would when we got the book. So. All right. Mr. Adam Shepherd, Scratch Beginnings, Me, $25, and The Search for the American Dream. Thank you so much for giving us your time, and I wish you and congratulate you for the book. I mean, it's amazing.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys very much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And so where do you sit now? I mean, do you you back to your life? Are you living pretty comfortably now?
Yeah, well, I mean, and see, that's the thing about this whole thing is it's not like I just sold the book and now I can go buy a 2008 Honda Civic. You know, I mean, and you can go on Amazon and you can see the car. There's a little video that has the car that I drive now. I mean, I have the same spending habits that I had while I was in this, and now I get to, I'm free to go out and promote this book, which is great, and that's what I'm going to be doing for the next 4 months, and I feel so much better equipped knowledge-wise now for the next step. And maybe I'll go work for IBM, or maybe I'll go get my MBA, or whatever it is. I feel like this experience has really, really taught me a lot.
One other question for you really quickly before we let you go. I saw that you majored in Spanish as well.
Uh-huh.
Did you use your Spanish a lot, or did you find that you really needed to interacting with a lot of minorities?
Yeah, see, that's such a good question, and I was kind of looking forward to using my Spanish throughout this, and everybody that I tried to speak Spanish with, they were just like, shut up, you goofy gringo. Like, you know, but no, and so I certainly tried, but I never need to use it, and I never really found a use for it. No, but I know that I will in my life at some point, but not right now.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Wonderful. Okay, Adam Shepherd, thank you so much.
20, absolutely.
Yeah, 26 years old, right?
My age.
You see,
yes, you see,
Susie, you have something to learn from him. Like, okay, we'll talk about that after you're off the line, because I got myself into deep, hot water right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Adam, thank you so much, and all the best to you.
All right, thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, now you want me to go
but
back
But was he
to
in the army? What?
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it just came out. You know, sometimes you just like you have diarrhea of the mouth and things mm-hmm. just come out. And I'm like, yeah, why did I say that? It's not even funny, you know? So I take it back. Okay, you don't have to learn anything from him. No, I think, in fact, you've achieved quite a bit. I mean, people that are saying, you know, they can't believe you're only 26 and how much you've been through already, you know.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So take some Imodium over there. Calm down.
What does your t-shirt say? It's covered.
Legalize LA.
Oh, Legalize LA.
Yes.
Now, what's the meaning of that?
Well, I think I told you this the very first time I wore this shirt. Franz actually gave me this shirt, and I wore it to work one day at the Malibu Inn, and I thought it was talking about marijuana,
mm-hmm.
like legalize all the make smoking marijuana legal in California. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to rock this shirt. And then I got to the bar, and all of my Mexican friends were like, Susie, Susana, oh, te amo, like, we love you, and patting me on the back, and they started, like, clapping their hands. And I was like, why are they all doing that? I was like, oh, they smoked the mota, hey. And then finally one of my friends told me that, no, the shirt meant legalize immigration.
I see.
So... Good. It was an honest mistake. What can I say?
Yeah, but you still wear it because.
I'm all for it. Sure.
Yeah.
I go with the punches.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we could use a little lightening of the population here by sending back all the illegals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think so. Yeah. But that's life for you.
I know. I just wanted to tell you, but looking at his bulging biceps on the cover of the book.
They show him exactly from a profile so you can see his chest and his flat abs and all
his
that.
His washboard abs.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
no, it's just funny that he got a job as a mover.
Yeah.
Because I used to shack up with one of my mover friends.
Did you?
Yes.
And what was that about?
I complained once upon a time to one of my old customers that I hated moving and packing, and so one day he just sent a whole group of men to come and pack and move my apartment for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so these four hot men come like marching into my apartment. And
is
I
that
was
the
like,
one
Ooh.
Where you were sitting outside and watching them do this or something?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So he actually kind of reminds me of Bob, my mover friend.
Oh, wow. Well, it's you and movers, you know, who knows?
Well, you know, I don't know. Bob just wasn't the smartest pencil in the box.
Yeah.
You know, he was just super hot. And it was just like, just shh.
Yeah, just shut
just
up.
Just be quiet, Bob.
Yeah. Don't need college education to be a mover.
But this gentleman, you know,
yeah,
he's got the intellect and the body.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it takes a lot of balls to do this. You know,
What it actually kind of reminds me of? The fact that he stayed stationary is what's the most interesting thing to me. Because as kind of a gypsy girl myself, mm-hmm. if I were to ever do something similar, I would move around a lot.
Really? Why would you do that?
Well, one of my favorite books is On the Road by Kerouac.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just always feel, I don't know.
You have to be moving.
I have to be moving, but that you kind of like overstay. I don't know. I guess I would rely on the kindness of strangers like literally too much.
Yeah, yeah, you would.
Because the way I always have made money in the past, like even for my bar customers, is that my customers really feel like they get to know me and that they develop a relationship with me. And then from there, they hear my story. And then from there on out, they're like, we don't want to see you suffer. We don't want to see you like working too hard. We want to help you and give you all of our money. Let me write a check.
It's called a sob story.
No, but it's not from a sob perspective. They're just like, we see the great, fun, crazy things you do, and we just want to see you do something even crazier next time.
Yeah.
And they're so, let me just help, you know, facilitate this.
Yeah. But, you know, I figure if you moved around, you wouldn't have the stability to actually accumulate the money that he wanted and get an apartment, you know.
I don't know. You can hustle a lot of people moving around.
Yeah. I guess you could. You see, but it's different. I mean, a guy is different from a girl.
I totally know.
You know? I mean, you guys have, like, the ultimate buying power between your legs, you know?
It's not even between our legs.
It's a credit card with no limit.
I don't know.
No, it opens every door.
It's got a limit. It's called when you turn 35.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. But, yeah, so that's an open revolving credit line right there.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, not for all women. There aren't.
It opens doors. Let me tell you, that vagina, man, it doesn't matter who it is. I'm telling you. Okay, they spread them and they get something.
Think what you want in your little bubble over there. It's not that easy, Sam.
Now, how would you know? You're not 35 and ugly.
Well, I know. I'm not saying it's not hard or it's not easy for me, but...
Yeah. Okay, so shut up.
I also have a lot of friends that are absolutely gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous, and, like, really smart women, and they have the hardest time in the world finding anyone to even take them out to dinner.
No, okay, but that's because of the personality, you know? We're just talking
about
sex,
you know? No, I'm telling
you,
these
have
great...
If they wanted... Listen, they could get whatever they want if they were willing to give it away.
But then that's not getting what they want. Because they don't want a sleazy, nasty, obese man going,
No, that's not what I'm...
Who's going to pay them
at
the end of the day?
But you got it differently. I mean, you didn't understand what I was saying. What I'm saying is this, is that if you want a nice car, okay, you want a nice Porsche, use your vagina, you'll get one, you know? And, you know, anything you want. Anything. I mean, look at all these... Fuck this.
Sugar daddy.
Fucking sugar daddy. And you tell me no? No, no. Okay. But okay. They're wondering, why is only Sam talking? Okay, let's take a little break and we'll be back right after this.
Are you willing to do anything for the right price? In these trying economic times, the world's oldest profession is also the most stable. And the place to start is PCI, the Prostitute Career Institute.
I called and PCI got me started that night.
At PCI, you learn the skills necessary to become a successful streetwalker, like the art of negotiation.
You want me to put what where? Not for $50, you won't.
You'll also be schooled in the importance of time management.
Look, you better hurry up because you only pay for half an hour.
Plus, you'll acquire people skills necessary to keep clients coming back.
Oh baby, you are incredible. You are more man than I ever have had in my entire life. Now get off.
Demand for hookers never goes down, and classes are filling up fast. So call today and find out if a career as a working girl is right for you at PCI, the Prostitute Career Institute.
Tune in to Sam and Susie every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
How appropriate with that little blurb that you've got going on.
Yeah.
Become a prostitute at 1-800. Prostitutes are us.
Yes, prostitutes make the world go round.
No, they don't.
They do.
I've only seen like a prostitute once in my life.
Yeah?
You don't even know they exist.
Yeah, well, you go to Amsterdam, you'll see a lot of them.
Really?
But no, I remember when I was a kid, we always used to like, with my friends, just go and hang out with the prostitutes were on the streets, you know, because they would gather in a certain area. And we would just, you know, just sort of like look from afar. Or we would start teasing them. I don't know. I mean, my early teens or something. Probably.
Early teens? You're hanging out with prostitutes?
Well, I wasn't hanging out with them.
You just said you were stalking them on the corner.
Well, no. They didn't know we were there. You know, sometimes we would tease them, yeah. But for the most part, we just kind of stand, you know, at a distance and watch, you know. The cars coming by and the chicks getting in.
Oh, my God.
And we would just fantasize, yeah.
Have you ever had a prostitute?
Never. Never had a prostitute, you know.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. I mean, it's very simple. It's not to say that I would never, You know, I mean, people say, I'm not going to pay for what I can get for free. But that's not the point. The point is that with a prostitute, you don't feel that she's into it, you know. So some guys are fine. It's like, okay, give me head, you know, let me bang you and that's it. But you know, if I went with a prostitute, I'm like, yeah, let me give you head, you know, let me do this, let me do that. And it's not the same, you know, kissing and all that. It's,
do guys go down on prostitutes?
I'm sure they do.
You know, that just grosses me out.
You see, that's what I'm saying. That's why I would never do it, you know, because that's my favorite part of sex anyway. So I can't just like, you know, go to a prostitute, give me head, you know, give me a hand job or something. You know, it's just not exciting to me because you can, I would imagine that you would have this attitude of like, hurry up and get off so you can go, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I don't like. So it wouldn't really serve my purpose because I don't, you know, I'm not about the ejaculation, you know, I'm about getting there, you know.
Really?
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be a relationship, but it has to be, even a one night stand can have great effects when the woman's into it as well, you know. So it's a whole different thing. Yeah, but to go in for 20 minutes, half an hour, chick had just fucked 10 other guys before me or something just today.
It just sounds like an STD waiting to happen. That's the only thing. It just freaks me out.
And it's disgusting. It really is, you know. I mean, you just go, I mean, this chick doesn't really care about anything, you know.
So you said one night stand. And speaking of one night stands, Janique, remember when she had her one night stand when she was here?
I do.
So the guy she had
Janique
the one night.
Is your best friend, by the way.
She's my best friend.
And she visited here.
Yes.
Right? And she's kind of conservative. Right, well, in a way. Well, she never had a one night stand.
She's not conservative.
She's a relationship person, though.
She's a relationship person, yes. Right. So okay. She's kind of, you know, kind of like Lisa. Like, she doesn't want to just go out and like sleep with people. She wants to really have a connection with someone, and then she'll have the most amazing experimental sex ever.
Right, and then she visited you a couple months ago, and she wanted to have a one night stand.
Yes, yes,
okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
So Sam and I put it out there to the world that we were going to get her a one night stand, and so it actually ended up happening. But it happened with the most wonderful guy. Like, he was just so nice and so cute. And like, you know, he had a job and I don't know, I guess he had a job, which is my biggest attraction.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, Franz. But yeah, so
I didn't realize she never
oops, I'm sorry.
Did you just sneeze into the microphone?
No, I just coughed into it, sorry.
It's okay.
Sometimes it just comes, you don't prepare for the cough. But I'm still trying to fight this friggin' allergy. Did you see the winds yesterday?
No. You're getting me away from my point.
No, I know, but we'll get to it in a moment because I just remembered that we've got like major fires going on in the valley in Porto Ranch. That's
really?
Where I used to live. I mean, this is like upscale neighborhoods where people had to evacuate.
Right.
You know?
I remember it happening last year with the family that I nanny for in Malibu. They had to evacuate.
Yeah. I mean, Arnold declared a state of emergency and shit. I mean, those fires were like hellfires yesterday.
Really?
And I'm sure they haven't put them out yet. But I just wanted to bring it up because, you know, we always think about fires being somewhere else. But this is like close. We've got friends there, you know,
wow,
that live there. So, and I lived there about for 3 years or so. So, yeah, I mean, fire is real everywhere in L.A. But fuck that. Okay, so back to I'm sorry for coughing.
If
I ruined anybody's hearing, sorry about that. Go ahead.
But so anyway, the guy Ryan that she had the one night stand with, he's been sending me a lot of text messages ever since she left town.
Right.
You know, being like, oh, you know, you're really fun. Like, you know, well, why don't I take you out to dinner one of these nights? And I've always just been so flattered because I haven't had a guy like officially like ask me, I want to take you out to dinner.
Oh, wow. Really?
You know, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just always found that kind of nice. And then probably about 2 weeks ago, he just started sending me these other text messages while he was driving to San Francisco. And it was just really nice to have someone like give me all of his attention and be like, you are just so cute. Oh my gosh. Blah, 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 blah. And he likes all the same things I do, like camping and biking and hiking and, you know, all these random things. But so then he wants to take me camping this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how I feel about that.
Why wouldn't you go?
Well, I don't
know.
You're
obviously enamored with the way he's courting you and everything.
I am enamored with with the way he's courting me because I just find it nice to have someone actually give me attention.
Yeah.
Even if it is from afar.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hasn't stopped giving me attention even though I haven't seen him.
Right.
Which is kind of nice. Like, as soon as Franz gets out of town and it's like, Susie's out of sight, out of mind, he's like, Susie who? What? But this guy like, has not stopped, you know, courting and pursuing me, which has been really nice.
Jeez.
But he also slept with my best friend.
Yes, which
so
is,
that's,
what's the big deal?
I don't know. It
she
just
ran
feels,
out of there.
I know she ran out of there. But it just seems a little, different. Like, too close to be sleeping with someone that your best friend slept with. If I'm not even saying that's going to happen, but I mean that there is a possibility.
Yeah.
But you don't think that's weird?
What's weird?
Sleeping with someone, well, potentially sleeping with, or even dating someone that my best friend slept with, or that I met because my best friend had a one-night stand with the guy.
Well, if she doesn't care, I mean, it happens all the time.
I know, but...
She's not in a relationship with him. It was a one-night stand. She definitely didn't want to repeat it. I mean, she was sort of like, I think, a deer in a headlight that night. And
yes.
So, but the thing is, you know what's the simplest thing is ask her what she thinks about it. But
I haven't. She thinks it's funny, but I still think it's kind of weird.
Oh.
Like, okay. She died laughing when I told her.
Really?
She's like, oh, my God. Yeah. Actually, and I'm not going to say what she said.
It happens all the time, though. I mean, you know, with friends, fucking same guys are friends.
I know, but that usually, like, it's. I'm not saying it would end our friendship by any means because she's completely in love with her boyfriend.
What boyfriend? They broke up.
No, they got back together again as soon as she got back.
Oh, really?
As soon as she told him, he got back from Aruba, and then... you know, as soon as he got back and then she got back, she told him, like, look, I had a one-night stand. And then he got so super jealous.
Uh-huh.
But he, like, begged her to get back together. And now they're just head over heels in love with each other.
Yeah. Well, that's called possessiveness and jealousy. And I don't know if that's enough to sustain a relationship, but we'll see. I wish them the best.
Oh, goodness. Uh-oh.
What?
Email from Franz. Oh, no. We should call him.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God. He said, what? Why are you talking about sleeping with someone? Jesus. Uh-oh. Sorry, baby.
Yeah, why are you listening, Franz? Yeah. You should, I mean, if you got an ex-girlfriend, if you got an ex-girlfriend who's willing to bang you, go and bang her. What do you want from Susie?
Call him and find out, because he's not telling me the truth.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, Franz, call in, please, and give us your answer. For those who don't know, Franz is Susie's off and on boyfriend, and he's in New York now.
That I'm madly in love with.
Yes, and he left her all behind. And here's Susie, who could have any penis she wanted, is actually looking for a specific one that is not really interested and is 3,000 miles away.
Aww. When you put it like that, it's so awful.
Why is it awful? I mean, that's the reality of it.
I don't know.
That's pretty much what is happening.
Now I'm beginning to think when I go to New York, I should just completely ignore him and not even see him.
I think you think about it too much, and I think you are in love. And I don't think all these plans are going to do anything, because you're just talking about playing games. And the bottom line is it's not going to get you anywhere, you know, because eventually you do want to be with him. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to take you in open arms.
I'm trying to distract myself with other viable options.
Yeah.
But.
So why are you going to New York? It's not to see him, right? Well, it is. So how are you going to? So you're going to go to New York to see him and then pretend you don't want to see him?
I already told him this morning, too. I was like, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to go to New York, and I'm not even going to see you.
Yeah.
Except maybe I will see you on Saturday, but that's only because we're going to be at the same event. So there. No, I'm specifically going for this bike event, which is called Bike Kill. It's going to be really fun. It's in New York City. There's going to be all kinds of violent bike events going on, like bike jousting, for example.
What is that?
Bike jousting?
Uh-huh.
It's when you get on a bicycle and... You have two people on bicycles, and then usually they take like a 15-foot PVC tube, mm-hmm. and they tape a pillow to the end of it. And then usually they kind of like wrap it with a red ribbon, and it looks like a big candy cane.
Uh-huh.
And then people ride their bicycles. Franz does this. Uh-huh. They ride their bicycles at each other, and they like try and beat the shit out of each other and knock each other off the bike.
Oh, sounds very interesting. Oh,
you don't sound very interested.
No, but
you don't have to lie to me.
It's probably fun, though, huh?
It's really fun. Yeah. Fun to watch.
It's like a knight on the horse with those things they're holding.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, exactly. Whatever. Jousting sticks.
Yeah, that's right.
Duh.
Okay. Okay. All right. Gotcha. You got me. Okay. Duh.
Duh.
Yeah. I'm not quite awake this morning.
That's okay.
I was really irritated with the traffic because it usually takes me 5 minutes to get here. And then you get stuck at this intersection for hours. And people block the intersection and all that. And,
I know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I almost did this morning, which would have been like the total asshole, like bitchy Susie New Yorker move that would cause an accident? There was a whole lane that was open on the right-hand side, and it was all parking spots.
Yeah.
And so I almost like cut off the entire like half mile of traffic like going in on that side.
Wow.
Like just swerving over that way.
Really? Jeez.
Yeah. Would that have been like really rude?
Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie. Who's calling?
This is Franz.
Welcome to the show, Franz.
Hi, baby. How are you?
Apparently, he's listening, Susie.
Oops.
How is New York, Franz?
That's great. It's nice that leaves are changing. Nice weather.
Really? Yeah. That's cool. How long are you there already? What, a week or two?
Yeah, I've been here about a week and a half, or I think.
It's going on like 3 weeks. You've been gone forever.
2 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now you tell us on the radio. Are you missing Susie?
Of course I'm missing Susie. She says I ignore her. I talk to her almost every single day.
Bullshit. Really?
Yeah.
If I skip a day, I hear about it for hours the next day. So I try not to skip a day.
Okay.
I
makes
totally
it sound like I'm completely ignoring her.
You are completely ignoring me. I have to go seek attention elsewhere.
What?
I'm just physically absent. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm in New York, you know.
Well, you could send me text messages. You could tell me you miss me. You could tell me you love me. You could tell me you think about me every day. You could send me these little messages like you know that I need.
Jeez, all right. Women are the same, you know?
Exactly. What are you men going to learn?
They need all this attention.
At least I admit that I need the attention.
Yeah, you do. That's true.
I told you all those things this morning, right before the show.
And that's only because I was in the shower feeling like that something was amiss. And that something being amiss was you shacking up with your ex.
I didn't shack up with her, first of all.
Okay, then tell me how it really was.
Yeah, we don't believe that, Franz, but that's okay, you know. I mean, the thing is, I would.
That's because you're a dirty dog over there.
Yeah, but no, look, I mean, he's away. How long are you guys going to be away from each other, apart?
Well, we're going to meet each other in a week and a half, actually.
That's true. Susie, give him some slack, you know? I mean, what do you want from the guy? You're trying you're trying to control him, and you're 3,000 miles away. You can't do that, you know?
Whose side are you on over here, Sam?
You're obsessed, Susie.
You have to deal with me every day. I suggest you pick my side. You do not want my wrath.
Yeah, no, that's true, but you're not being reasonable, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not being he lies to me about having this girl that he was sleeping with come up to his parents' house in New York.
Yeah. But you're not being reasonable in thinking that you're going to be apart and, you know, he's just going to stay there. I mean, I'm not saying, Franz, that you are doing anything. I'm just saying what I would do, okay, if I were there. I mean, if it's like 6 months and shit, then, you know, I don't know, you know?
Franz, yeah.
Especially when you guys, you know, it's not like you have this model relationship, okay? I mean, you guys are pretty unusual in your relationship, so it's not like you haven't done it before, you know?
I'm sure it's a model of something.
Yeah.
Model what? What do you suggest, darling?
I'm not sure. It needs to be further studied, I'm sure.
All right. Franz, let me ask you this. Is Susie the best piece of ass you've ever had? What's he going to say?
He thinks I'm very inexperienced.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Mm. She's been with a lot of people, but she's never been with them for more than a week, I guess. So.
Yeah, so she hasn't really figured out what they like and that they care.
Teaching her, you know, going pretty okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You will never be getting any ever again.
Yeah. There, folks, we got...
Into it.
Yeah, the most entertaining relationship I've seen in a long time is these two guys.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Franz, listen. Stay cool. What do you do there most of the time? Do you have things to do and stuff? You have family?
I ride around the city. I learned how to ride a motorcycle, and that's
about
it. Yeah, photography.
Nice. Well, that's cool, man. Well, have fun. You get to be with your family, I assume, right?
Yeah, my family.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, say hi to your mom, who called us into the show a couple weeks ago.
What'd you say?
It was nice talking to you again, Sam.
Yeah, you too. I don't know, you're cutting out. But thanks for calling, Franz, and we'll take care of Susie for you.
Bye-bye, love.
Bye-bye, baby.
Oh, all right. I mean, the love in the air. Feel the love.
No, even when I feel loved, he makes my blood boil.
Really?
I swear.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Well, I think you're trying to control him and he's uncontrollable.
Well, obviously.
Yes. So that's why you get irritated.
I know.
Yeah. You can't do it. You can't control people. You can't.
I'm learning this.
Yeah. And you have to examine.
I can control myself, which is why I'm being out of control.
Yeah.
And acting out.
I think so, yeah. I think maybe it is. You can't control yourself, so you're trying to control someone else, right?
No, I can control myself.
You can control yourself?
And I control myself by acting out and going crazy.
Okay. All right. So that's out of control.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But no, you need to examine that need, you know, of like needing to control someone else.
I don't need to control anyone else. I just want to control him.
Oh, okay.
And I don't even want to control him. I just want him to like do what I tell him to do, damn it.
Okay, excuse me.
Like the dishes.
A bad choice of words.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. Let's take a little break, okay? A little big break.
Put a long song
you want?
Yes.
Okay, let's find the longest song we have. No, really. I mean, we have listeners, Susie. You know, sometimes I like think about it because, you know, I mean, we've been doing this for a while. And, you know, I mean, myself, I've been doing the radio show for about 8 months now.
What did you talk about when you were all by yourself?
Well, I wasn't. I wasn't really. I mean, first of all, you got to remember, for 3 months, I had a co-host. That's how we started. Mm-hmm. And then for 3 months, I was on my own, but I always had guests or something.
You Every know, day?
Or co-hosts. For the most part, yeah. When I didn't, I think I only once did like a 2-hour show by myself. I'm
wow.
just not cut out for that. You know, some people can do 3 hours by themselves, and they do. But not me. You know, I need to have a co-host or something. So
definitely.
Yeah, but I don't know how I did that. At any rate, what were we talking about?
We're playing a song.
Oh, okay. We're talking about... Oh, so I started telling you that on radio, I realized, you know, we sit here, we talk to each other, and life goes on the outside, you know?
No, it
you've
doesn't.
You've got like...
Life stops when we're in here, Sam.
You've got thousands of people listening at the same time, and they're coming on and coming off, and we still keep on talking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what I'm trying to say, but at any rate, fuck it. We'll take a little song break, and we'll be back right after this.
If you're fed up with lame, uninspired talk radio, tune in to LA Talk Radio for irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk.
Last night I remember I saw the sun.
touchdown and take the flag. With each push I can stumble further down the track.
Yes, we are.
And it's a beautiful day out, huh?
It's absolutely gorgeous.
It's
I'm loving this
perfect
month.
Day after a very windy day, and the air is clear, probably because of the wind.
Mm-hmm. It's been so clear out lately. It's amazing.
It really is, you know, and it's not as hot anymore.
I almost feel like I'm back on the East Coast, and, like, you know, the leaves are changing a little bit, like, where I am, and what's that smirk for?
I'm not smirking. I'm listening.
I don't know. I spent a lot of time traveling this time last year. Actually, let me tell you this. When we had, what month did we have the wildfires last year in Malibu? Was that like October, November?
I don't remember. It seems like it's fire season every month, pretty much.
No.
Yeah.
I think it was like last October. Or maybe, no, maybe November-ish. But I had been in Vancouver, and so I flew back to LA, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to go for a nice bike ride by myself. And so I went off onto the bike path. And the sky was totally crazy. I mean, it looked like something out of the Ghostbusters movie. You know, the one when, like, they have Igor and the sky, like, just turned into, like, this crazy orange, pink, like, just nightmarish-looking thing.
Yeah.
But it was so fascinatingly beautiful. And so I'm riding along the bike path, and I stopped, and I was like, look at this. All of these people are, like, swerving off the bike path, and everyone's stopping to look at the wonderful sunset that was so crazy looking. Cars were, like, pulling off the side of the road to look at the sky. And I was like, you know what? This is why I love LA, because people are stopping to appreciate the beauty of the world.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I get off the bike path and I ride to the top of this, like, little mountain, and I'm overlooking the sky again, thinking how beautiful it is. And this couple comes up behind me and they're like, such a shame. I can't believe all these wildfires that are happening and the world's burning down. And I was like, what? They're like, sweetheart, Los Angeles has been on fire for like 4 days.
Yeah. And that's why the sky looks like that.
I know, but yeah. I had no idea.
Really?
Susie was in her little la 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 little land, and I had no fucking clue that the world was burning down around me.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was really bad.
Yeah. Every year we have that. Ugh. More than once, it seems.
Unbelievable.
You know, a lot of fires. They had, a couple months ago up in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
Even less than that, a month ago or so.
It's Mother Nature's way of trying to control us, being listen, you guys are fucking with the earth too badly, so you know what? I'm stronger and more powerful than everyone.
Yeah.
So take that.
But unfortunately, they find many times it's arson, you know, and you know, that makes you want to hang the guy by the balls if you can find him.
Is it considered arson if someone just like negligently throws their cigarette out the window? And
no, arson is deliberate.
Deliberate?
But it can
these
be an
wildfire,
accident.
Some of these can be deliberate?
Oh, yeah. All you have to do is light a friggin' match, you know, where there's dry brush, and that's it. You go home.
That's awful.
It is. It is. That's why I'm saying, you know, one person can really ruin a lot of lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, yeah, I mean...
Sorry. Hold on 1 minute. I want the bottle.
Okay.
It's almost gone.
Yeah, she's sipping through a straw. Just for those
that's
who
that's not a straw, that's a sucky sucky. Yeah. That's one of my favorite things to do, like when I'm at the bar and I ask someone, I'm like, oh yeah, what can I get you? Oh, I'll have a Cape Codder. And I make their drink and I'm like, would you like a sucky sucky with that? And like usually it'll be like a gentleman like dressed up in his business attire, like here for happy hour, and he'll do a double take. Excuse me? And it's like, would you like a straw? And he's like, oh yeah, I thought you said something else. And I was like, I did, I said a sucky sucky. They're usually just so horrified and taken aback. They're like, whoa, what the fuck?
I know. You make people crazy sometimes with the things you say, you know?
I know.
You're a tease.
Can't help it.
You're a tease.
But I wanted to tell you, so I want to try and get this woman on as a guest. Mm-hmm. This girl, Rachel, who's in my biology class, she's so cute. I'm trying to actually get her to adopt one of my kittens. But so I don't know. I guess people in the class have been listening to the show, and they were all talking about like the crazy things that we talk about. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my God, you should have my mom on the show. And I was like, really? What's your mom going to say? Like, yeah. How interesting could she really be?
Do you think she wants the world to know about this?
Yeah, I told her I was going to talk about it.
Oh,
said
you
it was
did?
Fine.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Don't worry, I don't think
I'm
she...
I'm thinking we're going to ruin somebody's life here.
Oh, no. But she was just saying, she was like, my mom, like this one day, you know, she was a little girl and she goes to hop in her mom's bed. And all of a sudden she feels like this big thing like under the covers, and so she throws back the covers and there is a massive like probably the size of my leg black dildo.
Wow. The girl found that?
The girl found it in her mom's bed.
And how old was she at the time?
I don't know, probably like 15 or something.
Wow.
But so
now
all
that
of a sudden,
would be a trauma.
I know.
And a young girl, wow.
Well, you would think.
Yeah.
I think Rachel's recovered miraculously. She's a wonderfully well-adjusted human being.
Yeah. But, I wonder what size her dildos are.
Oh, goodness.
Go ahead.
I know her boyfriend, so we're not going to go there. But so anyway, she freaks out. She's like, Mom, get in here. And her mom comes running in. She's like, what? And Rachel's like, look what's in your bed. Oh, my God. And her mom's like, oh, that's just Bob. It's like, oh, really? Oh,
it's
okay.
Bob.
But so then, and then we had this paper towel roll sitting on the table in the biology lab. Mm-hmm. And Rachel's like, oh, yeah, my mom also has this thing that she sits on, and she mounts Bob on this thing. And I was like, you mean a simian?
She mounts that big thing on the
Sibian?
Yeah,
I think so.
Wow.
And I mean, I'm telling you, the circumference of Bob is pretty impressive.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. I guess some women need it really hard and really
ooh,
big.
Ooh.
Wow.
But so anyway, she was telling me that her mom's just totally crazy in bed and just, you know, very, very experimental and wild.
Really?
Which I always admire, because even
does
though...
Does she know you have a co-host?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes.
I like experimental mm-hmm. women. Go ahead.
Actually, yeah, she was asking me the other day about your accent. She's like, oh, he's got an accent. Where's he from?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know you don't like to pretend or to know you have an accent.
No, but I learned to live with it. Go ahead. No, I know I do. I listen to the fucking show. Sometimes I don't understand what the fuck I'm saying.
Oh, please.
Go ahead.
But yeah, she was just like, yeah, my mom should really come on the show. And that's basically the end of it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we would.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We really would
we
love.
We would strip her right here.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see Bob.
I know. Actually, back when I was living in Massachusetts, we would always have Christmas parties at our bars. All the bars around town would have like a pre-Christmas party. And we would always have like a Yankee swap where everyone would have to like bring a present. And my friend Dirk would always, he actually had a friend that owned like the sex toy warehouse. And so he would always go to the warehouse and get like a whole big goodie bag, actually like more like a Christmas sack, a Santa sack, and dress up as Santa and come to these Yankee swap meets and hand out presents. And there was a very similar looking Bob at one of these things that I acquired.
Yeah. Did you ever see those that look like an arm with a fist?
No.
They have dildos like that, yeah.
Oh, really?
It's an arm with a fist. I saw it at the erotic show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, some people are fucking crazy.
I've missed that one.
Yeah.
I have seen some, like, YouTube video. I guess they weren't YouTube. Maybe they could have been. I don't know. Can YouTube be X-rated?
No.
Never mind, then it wasn't YouTube. but it was something with a person's head going in the reverse into a woman's vagina.
Yeah, you told me about this, and you know what?
That sounds...
The guy put his head inside a vagina?
Yeah, have you seen that?
Yeah, but I hate to admit that I have.
You're not that impressed?
I mean, no, I mean, I'm embarrassed to have looked at something like that. It's terrible.
Oh, how could... I just freak out. I get claustrophobic even thinking about it. I'm like, oh my God, how would the person be able to breathe?
I know. You know, I mean, sometimes I just love the vagina so much that I feel like doing that. But I can't see putting my head inside.
Oh, no. Wow. My chest is getting tight just thinking about it.
Yeah, she must have been like really... What, was she fat or something? I mean, did she have like
a big
vagina? I
think she was rather large woman.
Yeah, they have like large vaginas. I mean, I'm not making generalization, but I would think when you're big everywhere in your body, your vagina is pretty large too.
That's a good question. Yeah. We should have one of our larger guests. We should analyze.
We'll analyze that.
Yes.
The sex lives of overweight women and their ability to receive big objects inside.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty fascinating, all the things people stick in there.
Yeah.
My sexual psychology class, actually, that I took last year, the teacher actually had us watch a video on how to teach people how to stick things inside of themselves.
What? In the sex education class or sex biology?
Sexual psychology.
Sexual psychology.
Yes. Where we learned about all different kinds of fetishes and paraphilias that people have out there and just how fucked up people really are sexually. Yeah.
Well, then I can see why they would show you something like that.
But it was like a how-to video. It was called Beyond Vanilla. And at one point, they were just like, okay, so if you want to eventually be able to stick a head in a vagina or an ass, you've got to start small. And then you've got to like work your pinky in. Then from there, you got to go two fingers.
Are
then you
got
to get to the fist.
Like in an instructional
video? It was like a how-to instructional video on how to like eventually get anything you want. And like these transvestites were just kind of like, oh, yeah, this is my end goal. Like I'm really close. I'm really close to being able to get like a head shoved up my ass.
Wow.
And it's like, really?
A head shoved up the ass.
Yep.
That's
and they were like proud of these things. They were like proud of almost being at their goal.
Wow. You know, I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, sex is like such a great thing and it's free, you know? I mean, free pleasure, right?
And if you had it your way, it wouldn't be.
Shut up. But then people take it to like such extremes, like trying to experiment with everything, you know, like scat movies. I mean,
that's
like shitting, you know?
Ew!
Yeah, I mean, you know, so people are taking like sex to such extremes that it's not even enjoyable anymore, you know? It's
shitting?
Just like, yeah, it's like whatever.
Does scat stand for something?
Scat is shit.
Why don't they just call it like a shitting video?
Or the urination videos and shit like that, you know, and all that.
Golden shower.
And all the extreme bondage and all that, you know. It's just like really taking it to the extreme and almost taking the, making the sex like secondary, you know. And I mean, it's just not, it's not erotic. It's not erotic anymore.
Speaking of which, Franz, we haven't practiced the bondage. We never got our cotton rope.
Were we supposed to do that?
We had one of our guests come in. She came in with Nick Manning, I think.
Yes, okay. That's right, Mia.
Mia. And she was saying, I think it was Mia that was telling me that I had to get cotton rope.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So you can't get out of it easily, but it doesn't hurt.
It also doesn't injure you and all these other things.
Yeah.
It does seem kind of scary, though, thinking about doing these things with someone that's not really all that skilled in them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you have to give up a lot of control if you're the submissive one.
I don't mind that. That's okay.
Yeah. Would you prefer being the submissive or the dominating one?
In bed, I like to be submissive.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Because I'm such a control freak in every other aspect of my life.
But if you had to be in a sadomasochistic situation, slave master type of a thing.
I'll be the slave, baby.
You'll be the slave. Okay. Sounds good. Now, would it turn you on if it was a mistress rather than a guy?
depends being dominating? Depends on who the girl is.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think it could be erotic if a woman can be like really dominating and stuff, you know? It's like, do this.
You were just telling us yesterday that you don't like anyone taking control or being dominating. You don't even like getting blowjobs.
No, I said I kind of don't like to give up control. I didn't say I don't like people that take control in bed.
Well, what's the difference between giving up control and having someone take control?
Maybe I'm not involved.
Exactly.
No, I mean, it's more like fantasy, you know? I mean, you know what would be erotic for me if I was in a scene with a chick, right? And we're both submissive, and then there's a dominatrix there guiding us to fuck each other. You know, that would, like that's a turn on for me. You know, it's like almost, yeah, I get to fuck this chick because we don't have a choice. Somebody's making us do it. Could be kind of erotic. You see how convoluted people's minds are when it comes to sex? I mean,
yep.
The fucking shit that we have in there, you know?
Oh, I know. Trust me, I know.
It's because we're exposed to it when we're so young. We don't even know how to deal with it and digest it all. So we start having all kinds of kinks and shit, you know?
I wonder what kind of kinks your poor son has going on in his head after the conversation.
Don't fucking talk about my son. You know, which incidentally, to change the topic completely, okay? my ex-wife calls me yesterday and she says, my daughter's was taken to the hospital.
Oh, no.
By an ambulance. And she's got major pains in her stomach.
Appendicitis?
Yeah, either that or they're saying maybe something with the intestines.
Oh,
maybe
shit.
Maybe intestinal. So, but it's most likely probably in the
appendicitis.
Yeah.
How? Why don't they know the answer already?
I don't know. I mean, she was there for 3-4 fucking hours. So her mom took off. She went to the airport and flew. And I felt I should have done the same thing, you know. But I can't really leave right now. But I feel
Sam,
so fucking
guilty
all night.
If it's your daughter,
you know?
And it's something like, if she has to have surgery or anything, like, yeah. You need to go and be with her.
I know, but I figured, you know, her mom's going to be with her, so maybe that's okay. I don't know. I mean,
want her to think that, like, her dad's abandoning
she
her.
She doesn't. I called her yesterday and stuff, and we talked and all that.
Why don't you ask her if she wants you to come?
Yeah, I will.
You know, maybe you can do the show remotely or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do it from the hospital.
Really,
broadcasting live from the hospital.
I really want to be with her, but this station will cease to operate. You know?
Whatever.
That's what I'm saying. So I have to ask myself, you know, how much good is it going to do if I go up there? Because I know I want to be there, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of things I want to do, but I don't do. You know? So I don't know. I don't know what's the right thing to do. I mean, I know I want to go, but I can't. You know? I mean, you see, it's not only obligation to the station, but to the hosts as well. You know?
Well, couldn't your... All the hosts know how to run their own show because they do it when you're not here anyway. Am I correct?
And how long am I going to go for? A day? 2 days? You know, is it going to make a difference?
Well, yeah,
you know
maybe to your daughter, knowing that her daddy came.
Well, you know what? I'll ask her. I'm going to call her after the show. If she wants me to go, I'll go.
Okay.
But I think she's, she's very considerate. So, I don't know. Either way,
she would probably never say that she wanted you to come anyway.
No, but I think she would understand. She would say, like, it's okay, Dad, you know, and Mom's here and all that, and... You know, we'll keep you posted. I don't know. I mean,
shit, that sucks. That's really
scary. It really sucks, you know? And I'm thinking of her being all alone, but she's not alone. She said friends came over and visited her at the hospital and stuff.
Actually, you know what? I did see a similar situation on my soap opera last night.
okay.
No, so they're this ex-husband and wife, and they have this, this like 15-year-old son, and he went off to a party. And the ex-husband is in bed with his new wife, you know, and they're just about to have like amazing sex because they've like been really busy in their life. And all of a sudden, you know, he gets a phone call. It's from the ex-wife being like, Noah missed his curfew. He's not home yet. And all of a sudden, Nick's like, okay, I'll be right over. And so his new wife was like, what do you mean? He's 5 minutes late for his curfew and you're about to leave me like mid-fuck to go over to your ex-wife? No. You know what I mean? Like the ex-wife can take care of the situation on her own. You know what I mean? Like, and you can resolve it in the morning or whatever. Like, don't go rushing over at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
So he went rushing over and I was just like, pussy.
And now you tell me I should go.
Well, it's different when it's a soap opera when it's like real life. I
don't
know.
I suppose, yeah.
And it's different if it's an illness versus someone, you know, that's just missing their curfew and being bad.
Yeah.
But
but look, I mean, if I talk to her and she says, Dad, I really want you to come, I'm going.
Okay.
I'm going.
Okay.
I'll figure it out.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So we'll see.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll see.
Yeah, but it's really scary. You know, and I feel so bad for her. She always gets all these things. She gets like all the illnesses in the family, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know why. The poor girl, you know? But, you know, I mean, just like we talked with the astrologer yesterday, you know, it's like, and I told my daughter this, I said, you know, I've had a rather tough life, you know, not money-wise or anything. It's just that my life has not been easy, you know. I mean, I've always had challenges. And so I told her, you know, I said, I've been ready to give up many times. But I always said, you know, maybe one day things will get better. And they did. And they have, you know.
And that was the Holly Hall's prediction yesterday.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, it's coming to fruition right now. You know, I mean, I've been happy in my life. I was, let's say, for the past several years, I was really feeling great, you know. But there was one thing missing, and that was the career side, the side where
the
I need to make
Susie
a difference.
In the morning.
There you go, you know. So now I've got LA Talk Radio, and we've got our show, and I feel that I'm complete now. You know, so I told her, I said, look, there's going to be all these adversities and challenges, but there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, I think. You know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. You just got to really stick with it, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's my philosophy. Spiritual lesson for the day. Yeah.
Speaking of the light at the end of my tunnel, I started my applications for schools yesterday.
Really?
Oh, I skipped statistics class yesterday for the first time.
You did?
It was the first class I've missed all semester.
Yeah, and you wrote on Facebook you were studying, though.
Well, I was studying biology last night after I got home from school.
But so, and you had no exam? You didn't know if you were going to have an exam?
No. Look, I have to tell you this, too. This is the funniest thing. So I get to biology class, and like half the class was prepared for a test. The other class was just like, all right, Susie said we're not having one, so we're not having one. And so we actually didn't end up having it, and we're having it next Monday. So, you know, I've got the week to study, which is fine. But so we're in class, and I don't know, I made some kind of comment. We were talking, the professor was doing genetics, and he's talking about the purple flower, and he's got this really thick Brazilian accent. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, okay, we've got, my accent's going to sound like Israeli or Muslim or something, or French, because that's the way my impersonations have been going these days. But anyway, he's like, oh, so we've got the purple flower, and we've got the white flower. And he's like, and you mix them together, and what do you get? And we're like, okay, you get the purple flower, blah, 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 blah. And then so he keeps talking about color. And so finally I make this like kind of snide comment. I was like, why has it got to be about color, professor? And he's like, what? And my friend Ariel was like, she's just being fresh.
Yeah.
And the professor has this big, long stick that he's pointing to things on the board with. Uh-huh. And he comes over to me, like slapping his hand with the stick. He's like, I'm going to warm you up with my big stick. And think about how dirty that sounds.
Yeah.
And so everyone in the class that's asleep, here's the professor pointing his big stick at me, or his long stick. I forget what it was. He's like, I'm going to warm you up with my long stick, Susie. And I just was like, wow. Professor,
yeah.
Oh, you naughty, naughty boy. Oh, my God. And then his face turned bright red, and he didn't know what to say. And everyone was just like, we are going to pee our pants right now because this is just so funny. And it's like these like little Freudian slips. He only says them to me for some reason, just because I know all the right buttons to push.
You do. You bring out the worst in people.
But oh my God, how fun! I'm gonna warm you up with my big stick, with his Brazilian accent. Oh, it was just too cute.
Yeah.
Totally just disarmed.
Warm
the
you
man.
Up with a stick. What does that mean?
Well, he meant I don't know in like his mind that he was gonna like spank me with it.
Right.
You know. Warm, I don't know, like when you get like tanned, when you get when you get your hiney tanned,
right.
You know, your ass, when you get spanked, your ass stings and then it gets hot.
Yeah.
And so kind of, I think that's where he was going. Like he's going to warm me up, which is even worse. You know, so, well, A, he meant that he was going to spank me with his big stick. And then that turned into being warmed up with the big stick.
Wow. You see, but he can get away with that in college, you know. When I was teaching high school or middle school, and sometimes I'd almost slip, or sometimes I did, you know. Like if I would say crap, they would go, oh, you know. And I really had to be careful of things I said, you know.
I think it's still equally as dangerous in college, on the college level.
Yeah.
Especially even more so because, you know, now the girls are legal, but it's still completely inappropriate and completely illegal for any kind of, you know, relationship or even innuendo to be passing between professors and students.
Yeah.
But with me in the class, everything just goes right out the window.
Yeah.
I'm getting warmed up with the big stick. Yeah. Oh, my.
You turn grown men into mush.
I just can't help it. I really can't.
I know. You're just being you. And you brought your photo this morning. How old are you in this photo?
I would think I'm probably 10. No, I'm probably 12 in that picture.
Yeah. She brought in a headshot. You look younger than 12, no?
No, I've always looked very young for my age.
Yeah, so you brought in a headshot. We're hanging all the host's headshots on the wall here. And Susie brought hers from the age of 12. And I got to tell you, she looks the same. She's not changed. And I can see how you became so cute now. I mean, look at you. You know? You're like adorable. Of course they would take you for commercials and shit.
Well, that was the typical like Susie kind of look that I had. It was like the All-American Girl Next Door. It's not that I was like beautiful or gorgeous, like, you know, Kiki Kirsten Dunst was always like beautiful as a child. She almost kind of had like the JonBenet Ramsey thing going on, where she didn't look like a child. She looks like a little beauty queen wrapped in like this little person's body. And then there was me, like the same size, but like I looked like a kid. I had the freckles, I had like the ash, like the dirty blonde hair, you know, that could just kind of go either way and, you know, be combed nicely or just be totally tied in a knot in the back while I'm out playing with frogs. But I just kind of fit like the typical All-American Girl Next Door profile.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I did well in that industry, so to speak.
So how many years did you do that for?
Full time from the time I was 4 until I was like 15, and then 15 to 18 only during the summers when I was home from school.
So you did it for a long time.
Long time.
How come you're not doing it still anymore? I mean, you can get all these royalties.
To eat.
Yeah, but I mean,
I would have to lose like 15 pounds to even get back into the commercial business at this point to be competitive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
On Sunday, I picked up my girlfriend that I used to model with in the city, and now she does a lot of acting still. You know, she's trying to make it big in the movies and things like that, but, you know, she really should just suck it up and become a Playboy model, because that's kind of, you know, the look that she has. She's very exotic looking, very gorgeous, with the most perfect tits you've ever seen. I've told you about her tits before. I'm actually going to bring her in. Maybe I'll bring her in later this week.
Yes, do.
You're like, please, perfect tits.
Yes.
Give them to me.
Keep bringing in those friends.
I have a lot of friends I need to bring in, actually.
Yes, you do.
But yeah, so she was just saying how she met with a commercial agent the other day, and the commercial agent was like, nope, sorry, you're going to have to lose like 15 pounds. And she's not overweight at all. I mean, she's absolutely stunning and gorgeous. And, you know, my friend was just like, okay, you know, see you later. It was nice not doing business with you. You know,
really?
I'm happy the way I am, and I don't want to like give myself this self-imposed eating disorder that I had as a kid. Yeah.
Now, do you think that's because I noticed that. I mean, I think the camera does make people look fatter, don't you
Absolutely.
Think? So maybe that's why they want people so skinny, you know? Not necessarily because they want a waif look, but they want a good look. So if you take a waif one and she looks a little fat, fatter, then she would look good.
The industry just has like certain standard sizes, you know, that work. And maybe it is because the camera adds all these different pounds and things like that. I don't know. But, you know, when I was probably the same age as in that picture, probably like 11 and 12, I was doing a lot of fit modeling for companies. And I was like the perfect size 10 for like a kid size 10. And I, you know, because I was doing ballet and because I wasn't eating a lot at the time, my growth was kind of stunted for many, many, many years, and I stayed a size 10 forever.
Wow.
And so for Capizio, which is a dance company, for Nautica, for a company called Juju, I was their fit model.
Juju?
Juju. J-O-U-J-O-U.
Oh, okay.
Like Juju bees, like the candy. I don't know.
See.
Juju.
What
that's
a
something
name.
That's something that I would like make fun of. I would be like, aha, Juju.
What a name.
Yeah. Oh God! But yeah. So it was very small. Like for my age, like my friends were always much bigger than I was. But like they would actually take like all the samples of clothing, and they would have me like come in for fittings. And the entire Nautica line for all children's clothing, all the way down to like, you know, kids age 4, all the way up to, you know, like 15, 16 years old. The clothing would be tailored to fit my body and then scaled up or down from there.
Oh, wow.
So I have like entire lines of clothing that were like made off of me.
Wow. So you had like the perfect dimensions.
I had like the perfect dimensions when I was a kid.
Nice. And then you grew and now you're tall.
Yep. Now,
right?
Well, I was always tall.
Oh, I see. Okay. But you just wore size 10, so you're skinny.
Yes.
I see.
We're talking size 10 children, not obviously adults.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
But so, I don't know. If I were to get back into that, I would have to... I would have to make myself completely available for auditions, which would, you know, impede my school.
Right.
And then it would kind of fuck up my mornings with you. And then I wouldn't be able to schedule my nannying or my bartending. Like, I wouldn't be able to bartend because I would have to go to bed at night because I would have to wake up early and have to look well rested.
That's true.
And then I wouldn't be able, I don't know, like, I would, as a kid, I wasn't able to go out and, scrape up my knee. Because if I scraped up my knee and then I had to wear a skirt for an audition, then I'd be fucked.
Yeah.
And don't tell me I'm not allowed to go out and get drunk and get bruises all over myself. Because that ain't happening.
No, okay. Well, yeah, and you got a busy life. I mean, I guess it's too busy when you put it that way.
I would literally have to just cut everything out and make myself available.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah, but it's good bucks, huh?
So when I become independently wealthy, maybe I'll cut out a couple other things and maybe go back, but probably not.
Yeah. So you're looking for new schools now to move on to the next step?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So what are you looking at?
Right now, UCLA, UC Berkeley, Santa Barbara, and that's it.
Oh, so you're looking for places out of town?
Not really. Those are just kind of safety. Well,
Berkeley?
Berkeley's not a safety, but Santa Barbara would be a safety, and then UCLA would be ideal.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm not leaving you.
No, I'm not. It didn't. No, no, that's not what I was thinking. But I just thought because it's something that you just brought up. You know,
yeah.
I didn't realize you were looking for another school now.
Well, ideally, I want to go to UCLA.
Right.
Because it's right by my house. It just would fit in perfectly with my life.
Yeah.
So that would be good.
Yeah.
But the application process sucks.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's such a big school, too. You know, it's kind of intimidating. I mean, you have to drive a car from one side to the other.
Yep.
You know,
a
bicycle. Yeah. Sorry. I don't ride bikes.
Lazy. Lazy over there.
Yeah. There's all uphill and shit there. I would never ride a bike there.
Actually, you know what I did yesterday on my way out of here? I went and test drove a Vespa.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
It's probably the one down by my house.
Yep.
Wow.
Right on Ventura.
And what was it? Yeah, Ventura and Woodman.
It was a red one.
Really? Aren't those cool, though?
I've always wanted a Vespa. But now they've got like my whole life.
Really? Yep. They've got like different sizes now and stuff. I mean, did you...
Well, they've got the 50cc. Is that what you're talking about with sizes?
Yeah.
And then they've got the 150cc... Well, I don't even know what CC means.
Well, it just means that the 50cc is just a step over a moped, you know? I mean,
a 50cc would not get me over the hill to where I live.
Oh, really?
That wouldn't,
So you see, it's like a moped,
So the 150cc would be what I would get. The 250 is like, that's way too much. I don't need to go that fast in a scooter.
Yeah.
Or a Vespa.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know. And they're really cool. I mean, do you know how popular they are in Europe and shit?
Oh, yes.
Or in Israel, when I grew up, people were riding them all the time.
But think of how cute I'd look on a Vespa, like wearing a skirt with the wind just going straight up my skirt.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
I'd be so fresh and so clean.
I know, it's fun. But I figured, you know, if I'm going to get on two wheels, let me get a real motorcycle, you know?
See, I've always, I ride motorcycles too, but a Vespa just to like scoot down the hill and come here, or just like to scoot over to like the houses where I nanny and, you know, just save money on gas and...
Yeah.
They're just
and it's
to
fun,
go over
too.
To school and they're really fun.
Yeah.
And the parking's so easy on them.
Oh yeah.
And they're so cute.
Yeah.
Did I say they're cute?
You said they're cute, yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if they sell a lot of them though, because I don't see many out there, you know. Sometimes I wonder how they survive at that location, you know.
They also sell a lot of motorcycles, and they have this weird looking thing that's done by the same company as Vespa in there. And it looks like it turns the same way as a motorcycle or a scooter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got four wheels on it.
Oh.
But they're kind of like really in close together.
Close together?
I mean, it looks stupid. I don't know. If you're going to have a fucking motorcycle, get a fucking motorcycle. We'll have three wheels. Then you see those people with the big motorcycles that have those extra like training wheels on the back.
Uh-huh.
It's like, really? Really? Oh, my God. It's like, grow a set and get a fucking... I don't even get me started.
I don't know. I always liked motorcycles, but never had the courage to ride them on the street, you know,
really?
I mean, like with the traffic and stuff, because I'm afraid, you know what, people drive like shit, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what scares me. I mean, it doesn't scare me if I, you know, I mean, if I, like, to run into something or that, it's not going to happen, but, oh, Susie,
sorry.
Man, okay.
Well, who didn't hang up their headphones? Was it me?
Oh, excuse me, okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. No need to apologize. Just stop making fucking noise.
I'm hungry.
Okay. You're so fucking restless. Lately, I'm telling you. You need to get stooped. That's what you need.
No, I need my attention medicine.
Yeah.
I ran out of it, and I haven't had time to go. Maybe I'll get it filled today. That's what I'll do.
Mm.
Aha. Mm. So tomorrow I'll be comatose sitting here in one one little piece, and I won't move at all.
Yeah.
Then I won't have a thing to say either. Oh, well.
No, don't do that. Don't change, Susie. Don't change.
I won't change. I just need... I actually really do need to go get my medicine, though. It'll really help my studying.
Yeah?
Oh, by the way. So I was in bio class yesterday, and the girl Ariel sitting next to me she wasn't paying attention, so I took my hair elastic and I made it into a little gun on my finger and I shot it across the table at her.
Susie, you're fucking 26 years old. Would you relax?
I'm serious. The professor had his back turned. He was at the board, and so I was like, choom! And I shot it across the room at her. And so she's like, oh my God. So she starts mouthing this whole thing to me, being like, did you hear about what happened in China? And I was like, no. We're sitting right in the front row. Like, the professor is like 10 feet away from us. Uh-huh. And so this whole conversation is going on. And she was like pointing to my hair elastic. Some lady had her hair elastic, and it was made in China, and it started to unravel. And so the lady, you know, was just kind of like ADD like me and started picking at it. Mm-hmm. And she unraveled it further. And then all of a sudden, the part that was holding it together looked really familiar to the woman, and the texture seemed kind of familiar. And she's like, what the fuck is this? It was made out of a recycled condom.
Wow.
Not wow. Ew.
Okay, ooh.
Recycled? Recycled condom. Okay, so imagine...
Who collects the condoms to recycle?
I don't know. We're going to have to do some more investigation
into
this.
And that's in China? It's made in China.
It was made in China, but like the... You know, imagine I'm a girl and I want to put my hair in a ponytail. Not that my hair's long. A ponytail holder in my mouth like this. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a recycled condom and I'm putting my hair up. Yeah. And all of a sudden I'm using someone's fucking recycled condom part and it's in my mouth. What if I get like herpes from it?
How can you know it's a used or a recycled condom?
I don't know. But apparently some investigative reporter went undercover and figured it out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because they went to the factory and they found, it really is for real.
Really? Because, I mean, you know, it could have been the same elastic they use on rubber gloves and shit like that, you know? I mean, it's not necessarily...
I could tell the difference between a rubber glove and a condom.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
Oh, yes.
But they make some gloves now that are like, they look just like condoms. They're see-through. They're sort of yellowish like that and thin. Yeah.
You know what freaked me out once? I had just gotten out of the army. I had just finished basic training, and I was just like, woohoo, oh my God, life, party. And so, I'd gotten out of being a security holdover. And so I had just like had my 21st birthday and everything. And so I flew into New York City, and I get out, and they actually lost my luggage, which was brilliant. So I'm in like my soldier's uniform. Like, this is brilliant. And so I go out to go party with my girlfriends. And so I'm like, I need to find a piece of ass tonight. I need to find like some hot, sexy man to just like stop me till next Tuesday. I don't care. Because I'm telling you, it had been months and months and months and months of like no pleasure whatsoever. Mm. But so I finally find this really hot, like intellectual guy at the bar. And we go back to his apartment. And all of a sudden, he goes to break out the condom. And it was a lambskin condom.
Yeah.
What is it with that?
It felt really weird
and really just kind of like creepy. And like the packaging was like, does not protect against HIV or AIDS. And then finally I was like, man, I'm not sleeping with you if you got that thing.
Yeah.
And he totally like ruined my
whole... It's supposed to enhance the pleasure or something. But yeah, I think they have like
have you ever
pores
touched
in
one?
Them or something. No.
Yeah.
You know what? I probably
you
only
don't even want, know what to say.
I'm trying to count maybe a couple times in my life I ever actually held a condom.
Really?
Yeah, I don't use them. Never have.
Never?
Never.
Not even with the girl that you slept with in the comedy club in the car?
No.
Sorry, hold on one second.
Yeah. Okay. A moment of silence. So Susie can eat a fucking health bar, whatever it is. But no, I never used condoms.
Sam?
Yeah.
What kind of advice is that to give to your children?
Well, I'm not telling them not to. I'm just saying that I haven't.
That's ridiculous.
Why?
Because that's bad.
But you know what? I mean, most of the time when I was single, there was no AIDS. You know, I mean, it started, you know, only later on when I started being more in relationships.
But they had syphilis and the clap and all those other nasty things.
Yeah, but nobody was thinking of condoms to prevent that.
Really?
Yeah. No, condoms were only for,
Pregnancy. But wouldn't the lambskin with the porousness, wouldn't that get someone pregnant too?
If it's transmitting disease.
So what's the fucking point of it?
I don't know. Apparently it works, you know.
I don't know. Apparently. It didn't work that night because I walked out.
Yeah. So you wouldn't go for it, huh?
Mm-mm. I was like, sayonara, dude.
Good for you.
It just creeped me out. I was like, I don't want the lamb. Like, bah.
I know. Everything's become so sterile today, you know. I mean... you go, they prepare you food with gloves and shit, you know, and all that, which is, it makes you feel cleaner and more secure, but I'm wondering how we ever managed to do it without it, you know, now it seems strange. If I go to like a Subway or something, if they dig their hand in the lettuce and they wouldn't have gloves, it would seem really weird to me. because we've gotten accustomed to it.
You know? Okay, I'll give you that. But you know, having been in the food industry my entire life, like this one time I was working at this picnic, and for like 1,000 employees of some grocery store, and like we were just there like serving all the food, whatever. And I had my rubber gloves on, and I had an itch in my eye, so you know my finger looked somewhat clean, so I itched my eye anyway with the rubber glove on. You know, like my ear itched. Okay, so I'll itch my finger with it.
Or my ass is itching.
My fingers were getting like so like yucky from switching gloves like continually. Uh-huh, and then they were just getting... So I was just like, fuck it. I've got the gloves on. I'm just going to like, you know, do it anyway.
Yeah.
So just because they have the gloves on doesn't mean that it's actually sanitary.
No, I know. Because some of them will make you the sandwich and then they go to the cash register, take the money from you with the glove on. And, you know, and it's like, what's the use?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the point? Because you're still touching dirty things, and then the food.
I know.
You know, but yeah.
So long as it makes you feel better.
Yeah, but you know what? It's sometimes you don't really want to get anybody's sweat on your food. You know, if they use their hands without gloves and shit, and whatever else they got on there.
But then it's different if you go to like a fine restaurant, like a really fancy schmancy place. Mm-hmm. None of the people in the back are wearing gloves. The chefs are not ever wearing gloves. Like, they need the gloves will get in the way of, like, their cutting and their chopping and their whatever. Right.
So you have to trust
them. So why do they not have to wear gloves?
Because you can't see them, you know?
I'm talking about places where, like, the kitchens are completely open and you can walk in.
Oh, you can see them.
And anyone can see them, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've worked in my fair share of restaurants.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, I know. It's disgusting. I mean, I've heard that, you know, many times if you go to the back of a restaurant and you saw what's going on there, you probably wouldn't eat there.
I just do whippets in the back fridge.
Yeah.
In case the restaurant, like, they always get, like, a couple cases of whipped cream, and I'm back there going, and I come out, and I'm like, hey, guys. What's up? Hi.
I never did one. Is it pretty good?
For, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Inhalants are the worst kind of drugs you can ever do. I don't know why. I guess they kill, like, the most brain cells in, like, the shortest amount of time, and it's like... For what? To be high for like 10 seconds?
Yeah, I mean, what's the point? I don't get it.
I don't know. We used to go to 7-Eleven when we would be like wasted and stoned and back in Massachusetts, and we'd like drive down the street to 7-Eleven, and we would buy like cases of whipped cream, and the Indian man at the door was like, oh, another case of whipped cream. Okay, thank you very much. Here you go. And so we'd take our case of whipped cream. We would just sit on the couch, just two in the mouth at one time. But it's the worst feeling in the world when you wake up the next day and there are just empty whipped cream cans like scattered around your apartment. And you're just like, I am a disgusting human being.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, did I really do that?
Yeah. Didn't they ban selling those to teens? To minors?
Whipped cream?
Yeah, because they know they get high with that shit, you know?
I don't know. Maybe that's why we always felt guilty going to get it. And just kind of being like, oh, we're having another... Jello party in the house.
These people know exactly what you're going to do with it. Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, you're very hungry. Let's take another quick break, okay?
Why? Am I chewing into the microphone?
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll take a break and we'll be back right after this.
Tune in to Sam and Susie every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
You're an insurance company executive, and a last-minute rescue from the government has saved you from financial ruin. What's the most important thing now? A little you time. Bailout Spa. At Bailout Spa, an emergency infusion of capital is met with an infusion of relaxation. Bailout Spa. Escape to a place of inner peace, just like you escaped from bankruptcy at Bailout Spa. You squandered billions. You deserve it. Bailout Spa. Sure, Bailout Spa is expensive, but what's a few hundred thousand taxpayer dollars when they're giving you billions? So come in and save the most important commodity in the world, yourself, at Bailout Spa.
Best and original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
it's
you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
No. I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not after love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Ooh. Wow. Ooh. I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
And with a few minutes left...
We're back.
We're back with a vengeance. Have you seen any... Have you gone to the movies at all lately?
In my spare time. But I'm not...
Okay,
mediating traffic accidents and being detained by the police for being a bad girl with sidewalk chalk. No, I have not.
I know, I haven't either. I want to see that Body of Lies. I totally forgot about it. I mean, because I really want to see a movie. But you know what? My life's become so boring. We don't go out anymore. I don't do shit anymore.
Sam, I'm sick of this shit. You need to do something.
So
you need to do one. This is your task. Mm-hmm. You need to do one exciting thing that is, you know, different from your normal everyday existence every week.
Yeah.
Or else I'm quitting.
I do. Okay.
Take that.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, for my wife, you know. I mean, she's having to put with a lot of shit.
Take her out to dinner and like a comedy night or something, you know. Try to make a point of doing it. Or like
We have a lot of guests and stuff and past guests that perform all over town.
Or have like a poker night at your house on Friday night. I'll fucking be there with my...
Poker night?
I'll bring the cigars. I'll get some nice Cubans.
Not in my house, no cigars.
Are you kidding? You don't like cigars?
I don't even smoke inside my house. Cigarettes.
Well, let's have poker night on your porch.
Okay. That's good.
Okay, fine. We'll have poker night at my house. That's what Lisa and I have actually been wanting to do for a while.
Yeah. But no, I mean, comedy clubs, I love those, you know, so we should definitely go sometime. You know, we have you know, a couple hosts on the station that are comedians, and they perform all the time, and...
I know you and Phil Verone didn't end on the best of terms, but his comedy club was actually really funny.
Oh, you went there?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, one of the ones that he did.
Oh, the one you went that night, right?
With my dad.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So that was pretty good, pretty funny?
It was really good, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to check it out.
There are just a ton of them out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know.
And, do something nice for your wife. She was so sweet when I met her the other day.
Oh, she's very sweet. I mean, you wouldn't even believe how she supports me. You know, I don't have to do anything except run the station.
I really, really was impressed with her. She was really just a wonderful woman.
Yeah, she's... I mean, everybody loves her. You know, she's just so good. She's got the best heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm really fortunate, you know?
How the hell she gets stuck with you?
Sometimes I want to throw her out the balcony, but...
Sam!
Well, we all have those moments.
Oh, trust me, I have them every day.
Do you?
Re.
You know, we forgot to check to see if that guest I told you might come is here. But it's actually a little bit late.
The door's open. I assume she would have poked her nose in.
Oh, the door's open now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I don't like that chicken over there looking at me. I know I keep bringing it up, but...
Yeah, we'll move it. If you don't like it, we'll move it. Or we can cover it. When you were doing the
show. I want to stick something in its mouth.
Yeah. We're talking about the banner of Johnny Damn's banner. And it's got a lot of dedications from other comedians and stuff. And it says the damage report. And it's got like a rubber chicken's head on it.
But it doesn't have eyes. Its eyes are like blocked out. And it's got its mouth wide open. Like it's ready for a big cock to be shoved in there.
Yeah, you know what? That mouth looks like a inflatable doll's mouth,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's what it is. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's really disturbing for some reason. I don't know why. Seriously.
A green chicken.
Why is it green?
I don't know. I don't know who made it. But you know what? Johnny will probably be able to give us the answer.
Okay.
I'm going to call into Johnny Dam's show today at 2 o'clock.
Tell him I'm disturbed
exactly
by his
what
chicken.
That's about. Yeah. My wife thinks it's a beautiful fucking poster. And I don't know. I mean, there's not much to it when you think about it. It's just black. With some writing in that chicken
The rest
head.
Of it is, too. I also really like his banner, like the damage report, how it, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of cool the way he's got it put together.
Yeah. You guys definitely have to check out Johnny's show if you guys haven't heard it yet. The damage report from 2 to 4 every afternoon, and he's got different co-hosts and stuff, and it's he's a very funny man, you know. And I don't know if you're friends with him on Facebook or not yet, but he's got some videos on his profile. of him performing like in 2002 and stuff. And this guy's friggin' funny.
Really?
Yeah, he's really, really funny.
You know what I find with Facebook? I've actually started getting annoyed because now I have, and I don't say no to anyone that I don't know. Or, you know, if someone's like, oh, I'm a fan of the show, and, you know, then I say yes and I approve their friend request.
Right.
But now I'm getting almost up to 400 friends on
really?
Facebook.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And these are all people that I know.
Yeah.
And so people, it's just spiraling out of control at this mm-hmm. point in time, because I want to like check up on the news feeds and see what everyone's doing.
Right.
And it's like, I don't even have, I can make Facebook my full-time
people.
Job.
Yeah.
And I want to like take time to like go to all like the little links that people put up, but it's like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
It's like, when am I going to do this? When am I going to catch up? And it's becoming too big.
Yeah.
I think I almost might need to start a separate profile. And then just have, like, my most intimate friends
right.
that I want to see. Like, maybe keep it under 50 people.
Well, but you can get rid of all these friends. You know, if you want to keep it manageable, then get rid of some that you don't care about. You know? I mean, yeah, I don't understand, like, going for high numbers. You know?
I'm not
but you
going
say,
for...
But
I'm
you
not,
know all these
I
people.
I know all of these people. They're people I either went to, like, you know, to middle school with, or people from back in New York, or people from Massachusetts, or people from the bar, or people from the army, people from every college I've been to, people, ex-boyfriends
That's true.
From all over the world.
And you meet a lot of people anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I want to get drunk and stalk all my ex-boyfriends, and, you know, they're just there.
Yeah.
I mean, on a daily basis, I don't really care what they're doing, but sometimes I want to go and...
yeah. Sometimes I try to find ex-girlfriends, but I can't ever find anybody. Because I think with
That's
women,
they
it's
were
like
imaginary.
Women get married and they change their last names.
Come on, that was funny.
It wasn't funny. It was not funny at all.
I found it funny.
Do you?
Yeah. But hey, that's just me.
All right. Well, it's time to wrap up, Susie. I think we've said enough.
I got to go to the grocery store anyway.
Really?
Yes.
What are you going to get?
Food. Yes.
Oh, I'm hungry now. Now that you've had your breakfast...
That was barely breakfast.
Yeah.
I usually cook like a 4-course meal for my breakfast.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But I've run out of food. I was going to do the fast this week, so I specifically didn't go grocery shopping.
That's right. You were going to do the Master Cleanser. What happened?
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah? For good?
No, I don't know. I like to eat too much, and I've got so much going on, and it's like I really don't feel like I could take care of a 2-year-old and an infant if I have like... You know, no food in my body, really.
Yeah, I think it's going to make you weak and stuff.
And then to be bike riding and then to be at school and have, like, no food for brain power.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe on a vacation or something when I actually could conserve my energy a little bit, I think that might be more practical.
Yeah.
But for me, on a daily basis right now, I just need too much energy.
So what is it like? Is it lemon juice and
it's lemon juice and maple syrup.
And maple syrup.
And cayenne pepper.
And cayenne pepper. And that's it. That's it.
And a lot of water.
Wow. Yeah. This got really popular, I think, thanks to the Howard Stern show, because Robin has...
You just like to think everything.
With Howard Stern, yeah. No, but it's true, because, I mean, yeah, you don't understand the influence he has. But I've never heard of it before, and neither have a lot of people, you know?
I've just had a lot of hippy-dippy friends that have done it.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, it's not like they invented it or anything, but when Robin was doing this, it was sort of like... A big thing. And I'd never heard of it before then.
I think I'm going to just go and buy like a huge bag of carrots and beets and all kinds of things and juice them and then just go on like a little healthy kick right now.
Yeah, but a juice, but why not eat them instead of juicing them? I mean, you know, then you feel more full, you know, you feel like you're eating something.
Yeah.
You know? And besides, you know what I found, Susie? You know what? I didn't even realize that. I mean, I know I'd lost some weight since, you know, a year ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize how much, you know. And then I got on the scale. It's like 20 pounds. And I'm like,
damn.
Wow, I didn't even feel it. You know, it was sort of like gradual. But you know what I do is I'm never on a diet or anything. All I do is I don't eat much between meals. And
see, that's bad. You should constantly be eating like all day.
No, but I mean, I don't eat necessarily healthy stuff. That's why I don't. You know?
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I eat like a snack or two or
something.
You
should have like an apple and like a bag of carrot sticks.
I know, I really
like
should.
Snacks.
And I love that stuff, but I don't know, it never occurs to me to eat it, you know?
See, as a nanny, I constantly have like a snack pack of things. It's like, you know, I've got this and I've got the juice box and I've got blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you always try and have like little healthy snacks.
Yeah.
And I know we have to go, but.
Yeah, we do have to go because we have a show coming next. It's going to be the Downtown Lounge with Eric McEnroth and Robert. Robert, I forgot your name, your last name, goddammit. It's something,
I'm not
Ortiz. Helping. Sorry, Robert Ortiz. Okay. And so stay tuned for that. Of course, TJ is back today live at noon. We have Johnny Dam and, of course, the rest of our shows the rest of the day. Stay tuned for everything. We keep growing. You know that our traffic has nearly doubled in the past month. I mean, it's like amazing. I'm like blown away.
Wow.
So thank you all for listening. We love to have you guys here. And keep listening every day. We're going to have more exciting things, more exciting guests.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
And we'll see you tomorrow.